You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home, streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami, in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi, on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Ohio, on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania, on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas, on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur, and in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. A practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will, and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined every week by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. And we are so blessed to be alive today. So blessed to have Mother and the sisters, and just blessed to have every moment, every breath that we take. We're going to begin with prayer, and our prayer is going to be our supplication. And our supplication is taken from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. The soul, us, to our glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a bit of a homecoming. I won't call it a reunion, but we have with us, after about a 30-day absence, Mother Gabriel Marie and Sister Francesca. And I have the privilege of having them on screen, but you don't. But radio has a way of, we can activate our senses. Intellectually, what we can't see, we can hear even better. So hello, Mother. Hello, Sister. And so nice to have you back. But the sisters did a great job in your absence. I have to say that. I think you're muted, Mother. Mother, I think you're muted.
Is sorry. It yeah. Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Okay. I don't know. See the audience thought I was kidding. I wasn't fibbing. We really do have Mother. She is here. Trust me.
Yeah. Well, it's so nice to be back. And I'm sure the sisters did a great job. But it's good to be back with everybody. You know, we missed you all. And so, do you want just to start off, or did you have orders?
No, I just, you know, again, I want to just make the comment, you know, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. And again, you know, under your guidance, Mother, that everything went so beautifully well and through the grace of God. But I just want to, I want to mention in that supplication, you know, when we're talking about our Blessed Mother confiding something yet more surprising, you know, Our Lady and Our Lord talks about secrets, divulging secrets, conveying secrets to us. And, you know, in our world today, I think we hear the word secret, we think of a nefarious sort of definition. It's something bad, but it's actually very good. In fact, Our Lady explains it in, I think we mentioned this last week, in meditation number one, in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Our Blessed Lady says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding." End quote. So she's giving us what we need when we're poised to receive it. So it is sort of like a, congratulations. Yeah, we're there, but you know, you're only as good as your last day. So we've gotten to this point through the grace of God. God has been nurturing us, molding us, weaning us on to this gift, and we finally come to the place where now we're ready to receive whatever He wants to give us, and we really are so blessed, Mother. So whatever we share today is going to be really in this aura, and I think I'll go to you first, and then we'll talk about that little opening passage I'd like to speak about in a few minutes.
Yeah, well, God is full of surprises and has many secrets, you know, and I think the divine will has been, in a sense, kept secret for all these centuries. Although it's nothing new, it was from the time of Adam and Eve, it was kind of kept secret, even though some of the saints hit upon it in different ways. When you read some of the different books the saints wrote, you see the divine will here and there after you've been reading it for so much, you know. And, you know, I've read them all many times now, and every time I read them, I get more and more delighted. It's like the secrets come alive. They're no longer secrets. It's like when you first start reading it, you wonder, is this really real? Is this really true? Intellectually, you believe what it says is real. You believe that because our Lord told Louisa, if you call Him into your activities, He's actually doing these activities within you. And because God is outside of time and space, they're divine acts that are eternal and that are continually repeated, never ending. And so we don't understand that because we're in time and space. So we know that intellectually, but after we read and reread and reread, and we live we continually do acts and rounds in divine will, we begin to realize that truth. The realization is different. It's the faith is increased with the realization of that this is really true. This is really happening. Even Louisa at times doubted. She said, well, I'm not doing anything. And our Lord is, you're doing everything. You're doing everything, because they were divine acts that He was doing within her. And she began to realize that as time went on. And I think as we continue to read, and our Lord says, you can't really live in His divine will unless you read the volumes. That's what He tells her in these writings. You have to read and reread and reread. And as you read and reread, you understand more and more, and you begin to realize the actuality of all these truths that He's gave us. The thing is, too, in order to live in His divine will, you have to be obedient to God, obedient to what He wants you to do. You can't live in His will if you don't do His will. And doing His will, the difference between the two is that you're asking Him to do His will within you when you live in divine will. I just wanted to read something here about obedience. This was in volume 2 in 1899. This was September 1st, which is today. Obedience was everything for me, and I want obedience to be everything for you. Obedience made me be born. Obedience made me die. The wounds I have on my body are all wounds and marks that obedience made to me. With reason, you said that she is like the most powerful warrior, armed with all kinds of weapons which are apt to wound. In fact, in me, she left not even a drop of blood. She tore my flesh to pieces. She dislocated my bones, while my poor heart, exhausted and bleeding, kept looking for a relief from one who would have compassion for me, acting with me as more than a cruel tyrant. Only then was obedience content. When she sacrificed me on the cross, and saw me breathe my last as victim for her love. And why this? Because the office of this most powerful warrior is to sacrifice souls. Therefore, she does nothing but wage a fierce war against those who do not sacrifice themselves completely for her. So she does not care whether the soul suffers or enjoys, whether she lives or dies. Her eyes are intent on looking at whether she wins, because in other things she meddles not. So the name of this warrior is Victory, because she concedes all victories to the obedient soul. And when it seems that she dies, then does true life begin. What greater thing did obedience not concede to me? Through her, I conquered death. I defeated hell. I released man from his chains. I opened heaven, and like a victorious king, I took possession of my kingdom, not only for myself, but for all of my children who would profit from my redemption. Ah, yes, it is true that she cost me my life, but the name obedience resounds sweetly to my hearing. And this is why I have so much love for obedient souls. And as we're obedient in every way, in everything, we're happier. You know, when you're not obedient, when you don't follow the commandments of our Lord's commandments, what the church teaches us, when you go against what God wants you to do, you're not happy. We indulge in things sometimes that are against his will, and you're not happy. But when obedient to his will, what he wants for us, we're happy people. And we grow in holiness, but we're also better off physically. You know, people ruin their physical health in not following the laws of God and going against his will in many things and many entertainments that we have today in our society. So obedience is very important. It's not easy. You know, it's not always easy because the body wants you to please itself, to give your body what it wants, you know. But the soul says, no, 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 this is not good for you. And you have to follow that inclination, what God is telling you. And if you're obedient to his holy will, you can live in his will. Then you can ask him, invite him to do the acts that you're doing in you. He won't do acts that are against his will in you. So you must be obedient to the will of God in order to live in his will.
Yeah, you're right. When we lack obedience, Mother, we do. And inevitably, we feel it inside. We really do. And I think on the flip side of that also, we also experience the other side. For example, when we go to confession and make a good confession and we're absolved and we do our penance, we have that feeling of almost euphoria, of peace, of tranquility, of this burden being lifted from us. So, you know, we have limited control over what we do in our lives, but certain situations like utilizing the sacrament of reconciliation can really make a huge difference in our lives. And again, obedience is tested. Obedience is tested in storms. And like we mentioned earlier, we were talking before today's program, you know, God explains to us, you know, exactly the situation the world is in right now. I mean, the world is spiraling, in essence, out of control, but yet it's in control because it's in God's control. And he mentions really quickly, Mother, I'd like to just mention a little bit about March 15th, 1908. I think it's volume 16. And it's entitled, "When Souls Are Filled with God, the Storms Have No Strength to Agitate Them." And again, this is that test we're talking about. And he talks about the sea, and he mentions about close to the shore when the water is not very deep, that's subject to turmoil. That's subject to wakes. It's subject to a whole lot of distress if there's any living animals underneath that 3 or 4 or 7 inches of water. But as you go deep, as our blessed Saint John Paul II mentioned, go into the deep. Today's gospel, Luke 5:4, after he finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for the catch. It's the deep water that's going to give us those surprises where God hides those treasures. But it takes courage, it takes faith, it takes confidence, it takes going out of our comfort zone to go into the deep. It's a bit scary at times, but we know the reward is plentiful. It's beautiful.
In the deep waters is where there's a peace. You know, a peace is, it's like you sent the message this morning for us to look at, that when there's a storm, the top of the water is very, big waves, a lot of activity. All the fish down below in the very bottom of the sea are at peace and everything is calm. And so when we're obedient to God, we'll have peace in our hearts and souls. There'll be that calm, but we lose our peace when we go against his will, you know. So it's to stay in his will, to receive the sacrament, you know, that's medicine and food for our souls, the Eucharist. Receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Go to Mass every day if you can. We don't know when one day that could be pulled away from us. Right. Why not have that great gift as we have now? So take advantage of the gifts you have now. Go to confession often. I don't know if there, I think there are fewer and fewer priests right now. Well, you have a priest. Go to confession regularly. You don't know when that will be taken away from you. Go to communion regularly, and you'll find that it'll be easier for you to be obedient to what God is telling you to do. You need that strength to be obedient, and strength comes from receiving the sacraments, living your Catholic faith to the fullest. That's how you have strength.
That's right. Learn from the fish. When the storm comes, go deep. Hello, Sister Francisca. Welcome back.
Hey, Peter. Thank you. It's perfect. You segued right into my passage. My passage fish? Today focuses on peace. No, not fish. Peace. I chose it from volume 30. I read it the other day and it touched me. So I chose it for today. And it's from June 12th, 1932. And it brought me a lot of comfort because the passage starts with kind of Louisa struggling with peace, and it's volume 30 and the year she's 67 years old. I have this thing where I like to figure out how old Louisa is during certain passages. So she's been learning about the divine will for quite a while and she's still struggling with peace. So it brought me a lot of comfort. So, you know, anyone out there who's still struggling with maintaining peace, it's okay. You're in good company. Okay. So Louisa writes, "After this, I abandoned myself entirely in the arms of the divine will. But because of certain sorrowful memories, my mind was restless, and my sweet Jesus had compassion on me and came and blessed me. His blessing was like a blessed dew that put me in a state of perfect calm, and I felt like a tiny little thing, all fearful, that had been brought out and freed from a storm. In all goodness, my beloved Jesus said to me, 'My good daughter, courage, do not fear, because courage is the powerful weapon that kills timidity and puts to flight every fear. Put everything aside and come into my divine will to make a breeze of your own, to move all our works. They are all in order in our fiat, but they do not move. They want the soul's breeze to move their steps toward them. And if the breeze is strong, they run, they fly to be the bearers of the blessing that each of our works possesses. So the soul who enters into our will, as she enters, unites herself with our acts to do hers within our own. And as she unites herself, she forms the breeze. And with the very strength of our will, she moves, calls, captures, and compels all our works with her sweet and penetrating breeze. And she sets them on their way toward souls. Oh, how happy we are, how we long for this sweet and refreshing breeze that man brings us within our will. So be attentive and do not want to lose peace. Otherwise, you will not be able to come into our will to make your breeze. You will not be able to provide sweet refreshment to our ardent love and motion to our works. Indeed, no one but peaceful souls can enter into our will. There is no room for others. And if it does not hear you, follow its steps. And if it work, and if its works are not surrounded by the cortege of your breeze, with sorrow it says to you, 'Oh, the daughter of my will has remained behind, and she has left me alone without her company.'" This always strikes me when Jesus says things like this: "No one but peaceful souls can enter into our will." And I'm just like, "Oh my goodness, I can't enter into your will." But I mean, we're on a journey, we're in a process, and Jesus teaches us throughout the writings how to maintain our peace. And I think three things stood out to me when I read this passage. The first thing is that Jesus needs to free us when we find ourselves disturbed for whatever reason. It's not the moment to beat ourselves up that we're not peaceful, because that's just going to continue to make us not peaceful and disturbed. But asking Jesus to come in and give us that peace, because he's the Prince of Peace. Only he can give us that peace. And sometimes in those moments, it's helpful to also just ask the Holy Spirit for light, you know, not those unhealthy self-reflections where we're constantly, you know, roaming around in our head the things that are disturbing us, but just stopping for a minute, resting in the Lord and just saying, "Holy Spirit, why am I losing peace right now?" Maybe there's a piece of light, a little self-knowledge that he wants to show us to help us in the future so we don't lose peace again in those moments. The second thing that struck me was Jesus saying courage. Courage, courage. He talks about that in other parts of the passages. And I was thinking too, like, you know, when I lack peace or when I'm fearful, because all of our lack of peace comes from fear. We're afraid of something. And I think in those moments, well, if I'm afraid, how can, you know, where is the courage coming from? And it goes back to the Lord, you know, just resting in God, resting in his love, because I really believe the root of all of our fears, the root of all of our lack of peace comes from that we don't understand how much God loves us and that he's with us thick and thin when we fall, when we trip, even when we sin, he's with us and he's just ready to pick us back up again. So I feel like that courage that Jesus calls us to when we're tempted to lose our peace is really resting in his love and just kind of drawing from that as our courage. And then the last thing was the last part of the passage is that we have to choose. You know, we can choose what we can think about. You know, I know in those moments when I lose peace, I have the choice. And a lot of times I choose to go over and over again, the thing that's making me lose peace. And it doesn't do me any good because I think part of me thinks I can have a little bit of control over it or find some security. But Jesus is telling Louisa, no, just enter into my will, you know, be that breeze. Take whatever's bothering your mind, just put it aside, place it in my heart and fix your mind. Obviously, our mind has to be occupied with something. Fix your mind on my will and all of my acts and uniting all of your acts to my acts. And then it's going to be a sweet breeze that not only helps you maintain peace, but it's going to be grace for all souls. And it's going to bring lots of pleasure to Jesus. So I think, you know, that's the third thing we have to focus on is our will. You know, we can choose. Do we want to keep getting lost in those kind of like circular thoughts that the devil likes to get us trapped in? Or are we going to fix our mind on Jesus? Like, you know, like Mother tells us all the time, the best way to forget about ourselves is to focus on the Lord. And I feel like this is what Jesus is telling us here.
That's right. You know, it's interesting too, because a lot of times when we lose peace, if we really analyze what is the cause of our loss of peace, I mean, it's usually very frivolous. I mean, unless we lost our state of grace, that's the only time we should be unrestful. I remember a quote from an old book in the 1800s called In Search of the Soul. And then this stayed with me for a long time. It's by Horatio Dressler. And he said this, when a situation arises which is uncomfortable or compromising, for lack of a better phrase, he says, quote, remain calm, cool, and collected until the outside disturbance has subsided because nothing's changed from within. End quote. So again, unless we've lost that state of grace, there's really nothing that should waver our peace. I think that's very well put. Thank you, sister.
And Padre Pio always said, pray, hope, and don't worry. Our Lord told Louisa, when you worry out of his will, I think we think about ourselves too much. That's the problem. And I think if we start thinking of ourselves, if we get in the habit of thinking of God and of talking to him rather than to ourselves, then everything you say becomes a prayer. Everything you're saying to yourself becomes a prayer when you reflect it to him. Even if you're complaining, Louisa did a lot of that, you know, complaining to God. So her complaints were prayers. I told the sisters the other day, Mother Angelica used to complain to God when she didn't have enough money. And, you know, that was a prayer and he would answer it and give her the money she needed. So don't complain to yourself, complain to him, but talk to him rather than yourself. I think the secret is to forget self. To just get in that habit. It's not easy, but we have to just really try hard to just think of him doing everything in and through you all day long, living in his divine will, and you will have peace. The peace comes from doing those acts in divine will, realizing his presence within, the divine indwelling. And the more you realize his presence within yourself, the more you're going to realize his presence within everyone else. And you'll find it much easier to get along with others, not to be bothered by others, if you get to that point. You know, I don't know if we have enough time to go on.
We've got a few minutes before the break. Hello, sister.
Hello. So I was just reading from volume 21, April 8, 1927, how all the figures and symbols of the Old Testament symbolize the children of the divine will. How Adam from a high point fell to the lowest point. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, the greatest figures of the Old Testament, while being images that veiled the future Messiah, enclosed also the gifts, the image, and symbolized all the gifts that the children of the Supreme Fiat would possess. When he was created, Adam was the true and perfect image of the children of my kingdom. Abraham was symbol of the privileges and the heroism of the children of my will. In calling Abraham to a promised land flowing with milk and honey, making him the owner of that land, a land so fecund as to be enviable and aspired to by all other nations, everything was symbol of what I would do with the children of my will. Jacob was another symbol of them. In fact, as the 12 tribes of Israel would descend from him, from their midst, the future Redeemer was to be born, who was to bind again the kingdom of the divine fiat to my children. Joseph was symbol of the dominion that the children of my will would have. And just as he did not let many peoples, and also his ungrateful brothers, perish of starvation, so will the children of the divine fiat have dominion and be the ones who will not let the peoples perish, that will ask for the bread of my will from them. So like Joseph, I mean, his brothers threw him in a pit and he was about to die. And like, and he didn't know all these things that we know, all these consolations, you know, like we really, even when we lose peace for little things, but we, I mean, Jesus gave us so many hopes, you know, that even that, like, those are the tests, you know, to make us stronger and all. And I was just thinking, like, I mean, of the 12 brothers, of the 12 sons of Israel, Joseph was the, he was not the last one. He was the 11th, penultimate. Benjamin was the last one. And we are like, our generation now, we that are trying to live in the divine will, I think we are like Joseph, like, you know, kind of like it says in the other parts, Jesus to Lisa, like those who are called to build the kingdom are the ones who will suffer the most. But then those who will actually live in the kingdom will be like Benjamin, no? Like the last child, like the most, kind of. I mean, they were all loved by the father, but kind of, yeah, I just saw us as Joseph, no? As the symbol of Joseph. And then, later he says, "See, all these were but symbols, images of them. What will happen when the lives of these symbols will come out? After all this came the celestial lady, the sovereign empress, the immaculate, the spotless, my mother. She was not symbol or image, but the reality, the true life, the first privileged daughter of my will. And in the Queen of Heaven, I looked at the generation of the children of my kingdom. She was the first incomparable creature who possessed intact the life of the supreme volition, and therefore she deserved to conceive the eternal word and to mature within her maternal heart the generation of the children of the eternal fiat. Then came my very life in which the kingdom was established that these fortunate children were to possess." So it's not anymore the symbol, it's the reality, like just being very attentive. As Jesus always says to Luisa, and in the other passage, like Luisa was lamenting how she is not anymore feeling like every fiber and palpitating of her heart. I mean, and I was thinking like how much attention it takes, you know, to be so much aware. Like, yeah, like doing acts and rounds always. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, sister. And you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. So I'm going to go into the break with a quote from the three appeals as our blessed Lord Jesus. And he asks us, quote, "My children, where are you? Why don't you return to your father?" He's asking, end quote, he's asking this question because he's given us everything. He's given us the way back. We're finally going back. We're finally going back to the other side where we belong. Finally. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. Again, welcome back, everyone. Yeah, we went to the break with a small quote from Jesus in the three appeals, you know, asking his children, where are you? Before that, he actually gave us something very, very poignant. He said this, quote, on my part, I have done everything. Now I'm waiting for you to do your part. Would you be so ungrateful as to turn me away and not welcome this gift that I'm bringing you? Know that my love is so great, I will forget about your past life, including your sins and all your evil deeds, and I will bury them in the ocean of my love, and which will burn them all away. In this way, we will begin a new life together, entirely of my will. End quote. What are we waiting for? It's all here. Mother, do we recognize constantly what God is giving us here? I know I don't. Do you have difficulty with that sometimes?
Yes, you know, we don't always realize it. You know, it's reading the volumes helps me to realize it as I read. Then you walk away from it and you kind of forget a little bit. And that's why you have to read every day.
That's
you
right.
Know, we read an hour a day, a half hour in the morning, a half hour in the evening, because we really have to read it to continually realize the reality of this great gift, you know, and it you know it intellectually, but like I said, you have to realize it in your innermost being, you know. And if we realize how much our Lord suffered, we would not meditate so much on our own crosses, our own uncomfortable situations in life. I would just wanted to read something here from volume 14, 1922, September. First, it says, our Lord says, when they crucified me, they stretched me on the cross so much as to tear all my nerves to the point that I felt them snap and twist. And those of my throat suffered a greater pain and tearing, which was such that I felt suffocated. It was the cry of the humanity submerged by passions, which clasping my throat drowned me with pains. This pain of mine was terrible and horrible. I felt the nerves and the bones of my throat, all the nerves of my head, of my mouth, and even of my eyes being pulled to the point of breaking. The tension was such that every small movement made me feel mortal pains. Now I would become motionless. Now I would writhe so much as to batter against the cross in a horrible way, to the extent that even the enemies were terrorized. Therefore, I repeat to you, courage. My will give you strength for everything. And he goes on further to say, my daughter, keep the light of my passion ever before your mind. For in seeing my most bitter pains, yours will seem little to you. And in considering the cause for which I suffered so many immense pains, which was sin, your littlest defects will seem grave to you. On the other hand, if you do not reflect yourself in me, the littlest pains will seem heavy to you, and you will hold grave defects as nothing. And he disappeared. So I think we should meditate on his passion, meditating on the passion. Some of the saints in the past, that's how they grew in great holiness, just meditating on our Lord's passion.
And the more we realize our nothingness, the easier it will be to live in the kingdom of the divine will. And a great way to help us to realize our nothingness every single day is by doing acts and rounds. Because when we do acts and rounds in the divine will, then it'll enable us to focus on Jesus instead of on ourselves. So in volume 2, August 7th, 1899, Jesus speaks to Luisa about our nothingness. Jesus tells Luisa, the more you annihilate yourself and come to know your nothingness, the more my humanity, unleashing rays of light, will communicate my virtues to you. So the more we empty ourselves of ourselves, once we put Jesus at the center of our lives and remove all these idols from our lives, whether it's ourselves or things or places or other people, once we just place Jesus at the center, then the more rays of light that Jesus will be able to communicate to us.
And then in August 8th, 1899, in volume 2, Jesus talks to Louisa about how a resigned soul is Jesus' rest. And this passage here, it really reminded me of those little fish at the bottom of the sea that are very peaceful and tranquil, and they're also very resigned. He told me, resignation absorbs all that can be painful and disgusting to one's nature and renders it sweet. And since my being is peaceful and tranquil, in such a way that no matter what may happen in heaven and on earth, it cannot receive the slightest breath of disturbance, resignation has the virtue of grafting these very virtues of mine into the soul. A resigned soul is always at rest, and not only herself, but she also allows me to rest peacefully within her. So the more we're resigned, like those little fish at the bottom of the sea, just giving Jesus our fiat every single time, praising and thanking God in season and out of season, and also realizing our nothingness and just allowing God to fill his all in our nothingness, then that'll really help us to forget about ourselves and focus all on Jesus.
And I think that's so important too, in the times we're living in right now, because things are going to get bad. I mean, Jesus, he lets us know what's happening. He says, actually, in volume 12, October 16th, 1918, he says, there will be a general uproar, confusion everywhere. I will renew the world with the sword, fire and with water, with sudden deaths and with contagious diseases. Again, end quote. God is preparing us to look at him and look at his, no matter what suffering we endure, it can never be compared to what he endured for us. So I think that antidote, part of the antidote, besides the divine will being the antidote of all poisons, I think the suffering of Christ will be our antidote to make our individual suffering that much easier, I think.
Sister. Yes, I also chose, it's from her letters, it's also about peace. And it's number 53 to Sister Agnes. This is what she wrote to the sister. I only beg you to make everything disappear so that the divine will alone may rise again in all your things. Never let it escape from you. Hold it as the prime act of life in all your actions, in sufferings, and in consolation, in everything. And it will give you peace, so necessary to your soul. Be on guard for everything which is not peace, because fears and restlessness, even under the aspect of good, are always infernal breaths and rags of hell, stuff which does not belong to us. And we must be on our guard so as not to let malign and noxious things enter into our soul, which can harm us. Therefore, if you love Jesus, be at peace. Whatever the circumstances may be, never get disturbed and remain in full trust like a baby in the arms of Jesus. Peace will be your heritage, the divine will, your life. Trust the powerful magnet which will capture blessed Jesus to dwell in your heart. Oh, how happy he will be to remain in your heart, because he will find his heaven in it, the things of the celestial fatherland, which are his will, peace, and trust. In heaven, they live in full confidence, more than as children with their father, enjoying peace and living from the divine will. Therefore, let us learn from this exile how one must live in heaven. So as I read, those letters or the books from heaven, Jesus and Mary, they don't want us to be disturbed. And we shouldn't really lose peace in any circumstances, because storm will be over. And after a storm, there always comes clear skies. And we should wait for the Lord for the hour of God, like the wise virgins with the oil. The oils are faith, hope, and love. And our prayer and sacrifice, it keep it inflamed. So disturbance, fears, mistrust, that's not peace, doesn't ever come from God. The enemy gains a lot when we see us disturbed. When we are afraid or disturbed, afraid, anxious, we are putting ourselves in their hands and we become their toys. And once we start thinking about over this disturbing things or any problems, then we are opening our gates to of hell, like complaining, doubts, anger, disappointments. So that's why we should place our problems in the hands of God. Just like Mother said, we gotta complain it to God other than to other people. And then it becomes prayer, like Mother said. Like the disciple, when I was reading this letter, it reminded me of this Bible verse. It was when the disciples, they were all in the boat with Jesus, and there was a furious storm, and the waves were sweeping over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. So they went to wake Jesus. They were waking up saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." And then Jesus woke up and he reprimanded them. He said, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" So he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. When we trust God, our life is secured. And when we do the divine will, God will come, do everything himself in all our acts. He will place his love, his strength, and his courage, and he will be our refuge in our life. God, we got to remember like that God is in control. Even the winds and waves, they become calm because they knew who is in charge. He and Jesus is the Lord. And I was asking myself interiorly, what's the key? What's the answer for not to lose any peace? And then I just happened to look at this box of our microphone. And then the brand name is Trust.
Really?
Yes.
Trust is going to work.
So, oh, my goodness. When we feel abandoned, when we feel alone, you know, when you feel like no one understands you, and we got to remember that we have our best friends, Jesus. We got to call Jesus like disciples. Even if he reprimands us, he will calm the storm. And we got to call Queen of Peace, Our Lady, do the rosary with her, with Our Lady, and she will make the crooked line straight. So we really got to trust in God and give thanks and praise to God, because God is only goodness. He's only good. And we got to choose. We have options. We can choose either good or bad. We got to try to choose love and choose our Lord. And that's going to be the star of that day as a victory of our will. So trust that he knows all and that he loves us so much, even at the cost of his life.
There's always going to be a greater good. You know, thank you, Sister Gloria. If you think about it, the most severe electrical storm causes an ionization of the air. It makes the air fresh. And a really, really heavy, severe rain, it cleanses, it cleans everything. It's like, washing the earth. So again, as we weather these storms, again, we know that there's going to be a rainbow at the end of it. So again, go deep. I think that's the greatest lesson we can learn from today's gospel. Go to the deep, just like our Lord sent us. Put out into the deep water and lower your nets. Remember, we're fishers of men now. Mother, sisters?
Yeah, that's true. And speaking of the deep, and I actually meditated on the passage that you shared with us for meditation on March 15, 1908. And it talks about the depth of the ocean and the fish underneath the bottom of the ocean and how they experience peace. And a few words I thought about it was I was meditating, which I thought also coincided with everything so far that we've been sharing, is divine intimacy with God. Jesus is actually calling us for divine intimacy, because in divine intimacy, there is the depths of our relationship with the Lord. There's an exchange of self, there's an exchange of heart. And I would like to share with you my meditation on the Passion of the Lord, which Mother shared earlier about some of it from a different meditation, but I'm sharing the one on the 23rd hour where the Lord was almost dying and a lance was pierced his heart. And this is what Jesus said when his heart was pierced by a lance. He said, "My child, after I gave everything, I wanted this lance open as shelter for all souls inside this heart of mine. Opened, it will cry out to all continuously, 'Come into me if you want to be saved.' In this heart, you will find sanctity and you will make yourselves saints. You will find relief in afflictions, strength in weakness, peace in doubts, company in abandonments. O souls who love me, If you really want to love me, come to dwell in this heart forever. Here you will find true love in order to love me, and ardent flames for you to be burned and consumed completely in love. Everything is centered in this heart. Here are the sacraments, here my church, here the life of my church and the life of all souls. In it, I also feel the profanations made against my church, the plots of the enemies, the arrows they send, and my oppressed children. There is no offense which my heart does not feel. Therefore, my child, may your life be in this heart. Defend me, repair me, bring me everyone into it. And so, yes, to me, this is like the answer. It's not easy. But, you know, I remember one priest also mentioned to us that if you are married, you know, because this is divine intimacy, it's kind of like marriage. So there is an exchange of self. And if we are married to the crucified Lord, then we expect also turbulence, you know, this suffering that the Lord, and he asked whenever we feel this pain and suffering and probably even disturbances, think that this is not only us, this is not only me, this is not only you, it is with Jesus, you know, as he was agonizing on the cross, but put this in union. And I think when we realize that through our readings or our knowledge, we will have peace. In fact, this reminded me of volume 4, November 16, 1900, when Louisa experienced intimate union with Jesus. I think I've heard some of the speakers say that this is like the third union or marital mystical marriage with Jesus. And this is about Jesus removes her heart and gives her his love as heart. So there was an exchange. There was an exchange of love between Jesus and Louisa. And in fact, just this is a little bit long and I don't have much time left to read all of these, but I'll just read a portion of it. And so Jesus showed Louisa her heart, and Louisa saw something in it. But then on the other side, she saw a cross, a sponge, and a crown of thorns. But then she became very become curious, and she wanted to see the other side. And Jesus, no, I don't want you to see the other side, because I want to mortify you by not letting you see all that I have poured into his heart. So when the Lord doesn't help, when the Lord doesn't make us understand everything that is going on in our life, consider that as a mortification, because the Lord wants us to mortify so that we forget about ourselves so we can focus on him. So the same thing he told to Louisa, I want you to mortify by not letting you see all that I have poured into this heart. And so it helps me also remember, even if I don't understand, I need to persevere in living in this heart of Jesus. And at the very end of this paragraph, the last sentence or the second to the last, Jesus says, I can only say that I felt as if, oh, and this is Louisa saying after this exchange of heart with Jesus, Louisa saying, I can only say that I felt as if I were no longer myself, with no passion, with no inclination, with no desire, completely immersed in God. So I guess, you know, this is something that requires a lot of grace, but we have to cooperate with that grace. Pray for the grace and then cooperate with it. Read the volumes so we can learn how to live in his heart. And then in this heart, we don't complain, because whatever comes along the way, it is the will of God, and it's going to be peaceful.
Yeah, very well put. Thank you, sister, for that.
Yeah, so just what all the sisters have shared about, it kind of brought an image to mind of the Holy Family's hearts and how we're called to live in their hearts and in the ways that they want to pour out their graces and their love for each one of us as their children. And it's really refreshing to think about too, just the ways that Jesus wants to bless us through reading his, he calls it like the gospel of the Book of Heaven. And it's like just adding on to what he's already shared. But this is from April 12th, and it's talking about Jesus talking about being reduced, having Louisa be reduced to nothing, and kind of how he is calling each one of us to be reduced to our nothingness so he can be at all. So I'll just share a little bit about what he says. So he says, my daughter, when the soul lives in my divine will, she lays down her remains. She empties herself of everything in such a way that what is left is the pure nothing, and my volition invests it, fills it with all, dominates it, and forms in it prodigies of sanctity, of grace, of beauty, worthy of its creative power. And it just, yeah, continuing reading, it's just so beautiful how much the Lord, he brings his life into us, into our hearts, into our souls, into our minds, everything. When we surrender, when we trust, when we let ourselves be nothing, and to let him be everything, he will be our peace. He will be, he'll be our everything. And just, it's really simple too. I think we, you know, fallen human beings can make it complicated. Like, oh, like, what do I need to, you know, what do I need to do, Lord? But really it's like, we have the desire to do it. And he says that, he says, as soon as the creature makes up her mind, this is later, with a firm will of wanting to live in mine, my volition gives the start of forming its life in it and really does everything. And so just a simple reminder of like giving God everything, and he will work with it. He'll do his miraculousness, and just, he has such creative power, like he says, and wants to bring peace through each one of us.
What a great way to end, you know, the program. You know, we're talking about a lot of technicalities, a lot of situational things that are very specific, and yet this is really very simple. Mother, 60-second summation? Any closing thoughts?
Just keep reading the volumes. Just read and read and reread, and just live your Catholic faith and be obedient to the will of God and call him into all your activities and be grateful for all of his gifts, and you've got it made. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're going to close. First, before we close, just again, as far as our gifts and sharing our gifts, please remember Radio Maria in your tidings. Please go to radiomaria.us if you enjoyed this program and the other programs. You know, inflation is hitting us all. It's hitting every aspect of our lives. And we want Radio Maria to be there. We don't want the struggle to worry about bills and things of this nature. So the best we can do, if you can please go to radiomaria.us, it would make a whole world of difference. I'd like to close again, a little supplication. I want to go to Louisa. She's the little born. She's the newborn. She's the one given this gift. And this is what she says in her appeal. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I implore you, listen to him. I am ready to give my life for each one of you to the point of enduring any pain, provided you open the door of your soul and allow the will of my beloved Jesus to reign in you and triumph over all human generations. And now I extend an invitation to all of you. End quote. Time has come. We're invited. Let's accept that invitation. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother and Sisters. Love you.
Thank you.